Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I have been bringing you some pretty interesting stuff, and I think this guest today is by no means an exception to that. We've talked about what to do with your ideas. If you've got an idea, you've invented something, or you want to bring a product to market, how do you do that? It can be done and has been done. In fact, it's been done by our guest today. Gary Branga is an entrepreneur, and he's written the book, Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home. The website is GaryBranga.com. B-R-O-N-G-A is the last name, GaryBranga.com. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. I love your topic. I love your story. The topic for today that Gary and I talked about is fighting back against unemployment, or said another way, how to get unemployed on your own terms. And one way to do that is to start your own business. Well, and one way to start your own business, or a thing to do, is to invent and sell product. So the book Gary wrote is based on his own firsthand experience in inventing his own product, which he eventually brought to the marketplace. And so I'm going to let you tell the story, Gary, because you can tell it the way you can tell it. So tell us a little bit about your invention. And then,
everybody gets ideas, and they get them in different ways. Mine came at my place of employment, my day job, which I left after about 2 years after starting the business. But at my day job, we were at the Kennedy Space Center, and we were talking about how we just hated to wear our ID badges. They get in the way. People wore lanyards, which are the string around your neck. One employee talked about somebody in his office actually caught him in a shredder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, very dangerous.
And what a way to go, huh?
Yeah, how they blow around and you can't see. And at the very moment we were talking about it, a person came around and handed us out a lapel pin for a promotion. And I took that lapel pin and I put it on my shirt. And so we talked a little bit, a little water cooler type discussion, and then we broke up. I'd had my badge in my hand. And as I walked away, I went to put it back on my shirt, and I had put that pin there. And so I attached my badge to the pen, and an idea came to me, an idea that I could put a space and a bar so that little alligator clipped on most ID badges could fit right inside of it.
That's just amazing. I mean, again, take this as a compliment. It's a simple idea.
Oh, yeah.
And you just blew it up in a huge way. And now, tell me if my show prep's right here, Gary. The name of the product is called, pronounce it again, is Clip Easy?
It's called Clip Ease.
Okay,
yeah,
Clip Ease. And to date, your company has sold, ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, 3 million badge holders.
It's incredible. What I did is I started small, and I call it my little Post-it note, because we'd all love to invent the Post-it note. It's everywhere. What I did is I started small. I made 200 of them after I drew them for days and woke up at night and drawing different designs. And a good idea does keep you up, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a couple hundred of them made, and I sold those and gave some away and sat back to see if anybody wanted any more. Sure enough, orders poured in. I made 500 and sold it. Then I made 1,000 and sold. And like you say, it's 18 years later, 5 patents later, I've sold over 3 million.
Wow. I love it. What a great story. Yeah,
anybody can do it.
Capitalism and entrepreneurialism is not dead in this country.
Not at all. Yeah. I hear some wonderful ideas.
That's so cool. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Gary Branga. He's having me pause and think about what he's doing and thinking that's pretty exciting, but you can do it too, right? That's the message here, Gary.
Yeah, I had $500 and an idea. My day job paid the bills, and I put the money I made back into the company, and I only started with $500. You don't have to go out and borrow a huge sum of money to go in business. Just start slow, and before you know it, it's 15 years later, and you've sold millions.
Amazing. The website is GaryBranga.com. B-R-O-N-G-A is the spelling of the last name, GaryBranga.com. And the book, Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home. You can get that on the website, Gary?
Yes, you can get it on my website. You can get it at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and any of the bookstores, if they don't have it, they can order.
All right, and if they want to look at the Clippies, Clip and then EZE.com.
Right, yes, if you wear an ID badge, it's a cute little item. It's a great item. You ought to see it. If you or someone you know or family wears an ID badge every day to work, it's quite a little product.
That's cool. Well, we'll definitely go in and look at it on the website. I've already got the website up. I'm looking at it. Quick break, Gary, and we'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Branga is our guest today. GaryBranga.com and ClipEase.com is the website to take a look at the setup for the, it's for your ID badge, right, Gary?
Yes, it's a different way, the fun way, we say, to wear your ID badge.
Very cool. Okay, so we've got everybody's attention here, and they're saying, okay, that's really a wonderful success story. And we get, okay, you started with a little bit of money, you started with an idea, but of course you know very well, and I do too, it's not that easy. You know, getting the idea is, of course, that creation and that innovation and inspiration is, that's really the hardest thing. That's the thing that gets you up, like you said, in the middle of the night thinking of ideas. But the next thing is to put the wheels on the pavement. And so let's kind of walk through this a little bit. There's a process I know you talk about in your book about taking a product from that idea to reality. So give us a little bit of a taste about how that works.
Yes, you're correct, but even Einstein says the imagination is more important than knowledge. The answers do come to you, and there's more places than ever to get help. We offer a booklet, an e-booklet on our website, free, 48 great tips for bringing a product to market. And it's not easy. Sometimes the idea is simple. It's not easy. But we discuss press releases, and we discuss being clever and innovative versus spending a lot of money. An example of that is when we went to the first trade show, we actually shared about 3 feet of a table from a local company that was going. Didn't cost us anything. Our display was one of those cardboard fold-ups that you at your movie rental places that cost me $40, and I could take it on the airplane with me. People were wanting to put their arm around John Wayne or Pamela Anderson that I made a Clippies for. There's all kinds of ways. $500 doesn't buy you much when you start a business. You have to be clever.
No question. Now, the idea then of getting it, the idea into reality, the first thing I would ask you, Gary, is what is the first step somebody should take? Okay, they've got this great idea. They have this epiphany. And what are some of the first few steps? They can get your book. That'd be a good step to understand this process. But what are some of the first few steps that they could take to really get them moving beyond just the idea?
Well, first of all, they got to make sure that somebody else hasn't already thought of it. You want to go to the patent office, make sure somebody doesn't already have a patent. Now, if they do and you haven't seen it, that doesn't mean end of story. That person may want to lease that or go into partnership with you or sell it to you. And you also may find an expired patent that's totally free to use. But you do have to kind of make a study to make sure it's not unusual for two people to come up with the same idea, even sometimes around the same time.
And they could be on two different continents and never heard each other and speak two different languages.
Right, absolutely. So once you've done that, then you move to a prototype, and I explain that and bringing a product to market from your home. There's a couple of campaigns you can run once you have it manufactured and you're satisfied with how it's manufactured. My first big sale was to a mail order catalog, catalogs that send millions sometimes to people, and also they market online as well. They love new products, and it's a great way to break into an industry.
Well, here's an obvious question people will have. Say, okay, I heard the word patent. Aren't patents expensive? Do I have to hire some expensive attorney to do that, or can I do it myself, or do you recommend going and meeting with an attorney, find a good one, and then how do you do that part of it?
Well, actually, it depends on the invention and the idea. A regular small little invention such as my own, and which can still make millions, I patented it myself. I've done it 5 times. It's not as difficult as you might think. I've coached people that came to me a little too late and had spent thousands of dollars on a patent only to find out something wouldn't sell. You can use non-disclosure forms for your prototype and your manufacturer. Then you can do a provisional patent, although they are changing the patent laws a little bit, so it may be modified if you don't move quickly. But you can do a patent And it's not a full patent. What it does is register the idea. And that gives you about a year to prove that the date you came up with that. It's a provisional patent. It costs about $100. You can do that online.
But that'll get you started and get you in the game.
And then you can do tests to see if it's going to sell. No one knows what's going to sell. There's been some wonderful products out there that fell flat. There's been some ugly products out there that have done wonderful. The only way to try is to test.
And then you get the provisional patent in place so you can at least test it out, and you know you've got some protections that way. That's very good. That's very good. Gary Brung is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, an entrepreneur. And the book is Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home, GaryBrunga.com. Stay right there, quick break, and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Brung is on the line with me, and we're talking about bringing a product to market from your home. That's the name of the book, and the website is GaryBrunga.com. Gary, one of the other big things that I think people would be curious about is, okay, you've got the patent, or you at least done the provisional. Now you want to get a prototype built. So I've got this widget or whatever it is, and I want to get that prototype built. How do I do that? Where do I find a manufacturer? Do I go online? Do I try to find somebody I know?
What I did is I went to a local manufacturer that did something similar. They could not do it, but they knew somebody that could. Say, for example, your product needs a plastic mold. You may go to a plastic factory locally, and they may say, well, we can't do that, but this company in this area can. Another way to do that is your community college and your small business developmental center have a list of engineers that can
help.
There
you go.
And also, you can go to trade publications. Start taking those trade publications in the industry that your product falls. A great way to do that is to write them a letter or call them up and ask them that you may be doing advertising in the future, and they'll slam as fast as possible, send you a copy of their magazine plus their media reports. In those magazines, they have advertisers, especially something like Small Business and Home Business, Inventor Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, all the major ones in that industry have advertisers that make prototypes.
So once you, that's good. Once you get then the manufacturing, you might want to talk to a couple of them, of course. You might run into somebody who doesn't really, can't handle it, or they want to charge you some crazy amount. Talk to a few of them, find somebody that seems reasonable, and then you can, of course, use a non-disclosure agreement with them on top of your patent. Now, that's something that you might need to get from an attorney, or what you recommend?
No, there are non-disclosure forms on the web.
You okay.
Type in the search engines. One thing I would caution is, like anything you do business with, I don't care if it's prototype, manufacturing, advertising, printing, whatever you run into, always ask for and check references. Anybody proud of their work is happy to give references.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
And once they give them to you, check them.
Yeah, don't think just because they've given them to you that they're okay, you need to still make the phone call.
Right, and check them. And if a company makes up an excuse that they can't give references, tell them that if they say it's their policy not to give them, tell them it's your policy not to do business with people that don't give references.
Fair enough. Now, one more thing on the manufacturer. So you say you found a manufacturer and you say, okay, do you get just one made then that you can work with, or do you get, I guess, a supply? Because what's the goal with the prototype, I guess, is the question. Do you send those out?
A lot of it depends on what the product is, but you'll want a couple samples. Sometimes you may want to make something metal, one of them in plastic, see if plastic is going to hold up, make sure one of them is more flexible than the other one, et cetera, bigger, smaller, and you might make a half a dozen. And by the way, bad times are not necessarily a bad time to do this, because prototype makers and manufacturers are more interested in short runs. When things are going good, they're too busy to mess with a small guy. But right now, they're happy to have your business.
How about that? That's a good point. That's an interesting twist on where things are. So you get your samples, and then and you start, obviously you're doing it to kind of see how they work and how, what's, you know, the durability or whatever it is. And then where do you go with the samples? Do you go to, like you did to the, was a mail order catalog you mentioned?
Yeah, sample, if you can afford it, certainly a trade show, you know immediately.
Okay.
The interest. But I didn't do that in the beginning because they're pretty expensive. But that would tell you right away. I mean, people, you're looking face-to-face and they see it, you know right immediately the reaction. If you don't have that, you may want a short run of manufacturers so you have some available. And then you start, like in my book, Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home, I started contacting buyers, a catalog's lifeblood of
okay.
new products.
That's what I was getting at, Gary. Thank you. Thanks for directing me there. That's what I was getting to. So you can send it to people that might want to actually order. You send them a sample. That's what a prototype really is. You have a sample to say, okay, look, you finalize which one you're going to go with, and maybe it's a plastic mold or whatever it is, depending on the product, and you send that to then the people that might buy it, which are the sellers, the buyers, the sellers of these things. We had a gentleman on the other day that sold to Radio Shack. So, you know, if you had something of selling Radio Shack, you send it to Radio Shack's buyer representative. And so this is what you're doing, these things, so you can get them out and you can take orders, and you go back to that manufacturer and say, okay, now I need 1,000 or 500 or, you know, however many.
Right, and you have to be persistent. These buyers are busy people, and I like to say, like I mentioned in my book, I actually wallpapered a wall of my office with rejection letters, and when I finally got that first one, they sold 150,000 units, so it's worth it to be persistent. And another thing I might mention that's very interesting with catalogs and buyers is once you penetrate that one market, in other words, your gentleman did Radio Shack, so all the stores that are in that category will accept you a whole lot quicker because their competition has you in it.
Absolutely, and they don't want that.
Right, so your first one's tough.
Yep.
And after that, it becomes a whole lot easier.
That's great. Gary Bronga's on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. The book, Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home. Very interesting concept. GaryBronga.com. Quick break, Gary. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about a thing that people, of course, are going to be very curious about, how to price it and make money with your product. So stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a home stretch with Gary Bronga, our guest today. The book is Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home, GaryBronga.com. Okay, Gary, now for the fun stuff, which is, you know, ironically, maybe it's toward the end of the process, but for a lot of the idea, inspiration, and salivating that we do is about the profit and the pricing and how all that works. So how do you figure out how much, I mean, I obviously you need to look at the cost of manufacturing, but how do you look at pricing the product to sell it?
Well, pricing is very interesting. You have to test and test and test. It's interesting, like Clippy's in the very beginning, sometimes we did it in different areas to come up with a price point. What that point is where individuals hesitate to buy it. Also, you have to group it. In other words, Clippies is a product that people will buy one for themselves, or they'll buy one for their department, or they'll buy one for their supervisor because they're inexpensive. There might be a thing, you might be able to put them in a box and sell matching earrings with it, and installing it for the $5.50 or $6 retail, you may want to sell it for $19.95.
I got you.
That attracts boyfriends and, you know, girlfriends and that type of thing, and then you might be able to make it out of a different material, make it for $39.95, and that would be spouses and special gifts in the workplace. No one really knows. You have to test.
Very interesting. So it's not just looking at the price of your product and or the manufacturing cost. Say, okay, it costs me, you know, $5 to make per unit to make 1,000 of these things, and so I'm going to mark it up X. You've got to make sure that when you do that, you're not putting yourself out of that price point, that hesitation point you mentioned.
Right. Now, the manufacturer, of course, you got to cover your costs, but manufacturer in this country, consumers would may be disappointed to find out, has very little to do with what it costs to manufacture. What it has to do with is basically what people will pay.
Isn't that interesting?
You really don't think, I might be dating myself, but you don't really think that the perfume from Liz Taylor on the shelf next to the store brand perfume, there really is that much of a cost difference, a quadruple or
right.
five times the cost. It's what people will pay. A cola, for example, there are certain brands that are known to be upper shelf brands, and there's some that are, but the cost of that can per can, you'll find out that the upper brand is the same or less worldwide.
That's a good point.
That's
yeah.
what people will pay.
That's a good point. The perception is reality. They're buying that product and they're but
perceived
the
value.
Exactly. Perceived value and actual customer taste preferences. But if you've got, you know, those two cans of cola, they may both cost, I'm just throwing a number out because I don't know, but say they cost 5 cents a can, you know, most of that being in the aluminum, and then they're selling it for 50 cents or 80 cents or a dollar, whatever. All of that difference is the perception and value.
Absolutely. And that carries over into almost everything we buy. There's a brand name, and then there's something that's a little less, and you just do not know until you test what category. I learned that from QVC. I did not get my product on QVC, but when I got in the final stages of QVC, they said, well, you need to put this in a gift set, and you need to bring this price up to our magical $19.95. Well, I did not get it in the QVC, but what an idea. I sold thousands of gift sets after I left.
Wow.
So even in rejection, you can make money.
There you go. Gary Bronga is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home. GaryBronga.com. You can sign up for that free e-booklet. I already did, Gary, while we were talking. So I'm looking forward to getting that from you. And it's a pleasure to have you on the program. And we'll have you back to give us an update on how things are going.
Thanks. I'd love to come back. Thanks
right.
for having me.
All right, Gary. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.